The following message was given by Brother Timothy Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, September 4th, 2016. The title of the message is The Oneness in the Triune God, Typified by the Tabernacle. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 26, verses 15 through 18, 20, 22 through 23, 26 through 30. John chapter 17, verses 11, 17, 19, and 21 through 24.
We gather into your name.
Amen.
To cleanse us with your precious blood.
Amen.
Anoint us freshly with anointing.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
We love your word.
Amen.
Praise you and thank you, Lord.
Oh.
Amen. Amen. Since this morning, we have read some verses in the Old Testament and some verses in the New Testament. What we are covering is what we covered last week. Last week we covered concerning the oneness in the triune God, typified by the tabernacle. We read two portions of the scriptures. One portion is in the Old Testament, and the other portion is in the New Testament. So the first part of this title, The Oneness in the Triune God, is from John 17. And the second part of this title is The Tabernacle from Exodus. We have been going over the book of Exodus. We had a crystallization study of the book of Exodus. We had the four parts, and we are finishing the last part. And this message is message six. So, to put the Old Testament and the New Testament together, it will give us a full picture. If you have noticed, we have read more verses than the morning watch verses. Because the morning watch verses, there are many to cover. So some verses are skipped. So in order for us to enter into such a subject, I feel we need to read a few more verses so that we can get the whole picture concerning what's covered this morning. We know that the Old Testament, we had the types, or we may say we had the pictures. In the New Testament, we had a clear statement, clear speaking. For example, just to explain, in the Old Testament, we have Adam and Eve. Adam was created, and Eve was a rib taken from Adam's side. And out of this rib, God built a woman and brought to Adam, and they two became one. So this is in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we had a clear speaking that Adam and Eve is a type of Christ and the church. And this we see in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul spoke concerning husband and wife, he said, this is a great mystery. Adam and Eve is a husband and wife. Where is the mystery? The mystery is concerning Christ and the church. So we see the clear speaking in the New Testament, and the type is in the Old Testament. Not only we see the clear speaking in Ephesians, but if we continue in the New Testament, we will see eventually there's a consummation. And that consummation is mentioned in Revelation. Revelation, it mentioned that the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Amen.
The marriage of the Lamb, that Lamb refers to Christ. Because when Christ came, John the Baptist introduced him. Behold, the Lamb of God. So eventually, Christ, as the Lamb of God, in fact, he is the Lamb God. He is not just the Lamb of God as the fulfillment of all the Old Testament's offerings and sacrifices. He is the Lamb God, means he is the redeeming God. So eventually, there was the marriage feast of Lamb, and his bride has made herself ready. So we see, eventually, New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. So we see both the type, the reality, and eventually there was the consummation. So I just want to use this word to kind of open up that today we will be covering a portion in the Old Testament and a portion in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the picture is concerning the tabernacle. And in the New Testament, it's John 17. John 17 is a chapter after the Lord Jesus, before he was betrayed and crucified, he had a long conversation with the disciples. In John chapter 14 and 15 and 16. And after his conversation of these long three chapters, 14, 15, and 16, he had a prayer, the prayers in John 17. Maybe we can read John 17, 1, just to see. These things, let's read together. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "The Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." So this subject is concerning, this is, you know, the Lord's prayer, because he lifted up his eyes and he prayed to the Father in heaven. The whole chapter of John 17 is on the subject of oneness, and is also on the subject of glorification. You know, the Lord prayed, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. So I just want to open this a little bit so we have the picture. The oneness is very crucial. You know, the church here, the Lord has been leading us last year and this year. We are advancing. We are also enlarging. And we are also trailblazing. While the law is going on, the enemy will come in. This is the principle that the Lord Jesus himself said, "I will build my church." And then right away he mentioned, "The gates of Hades will attest, but shall not prevail." So today, when the law is going on, I feel this word is very timely for all of us. Because for the law to go on, there is the need of oneness. Amen. You know, just before the law went to the cross, I don't know, if you read the Gospels, are the disciples one? They were fighting with one another. But in Acts, we see the disciples were one. Amen. On the day of Pentecost. Not just the 12. The 12 were fighting, who were, you know, John and James, they will try to fight for the, you know, the one next to the Lord on the throne. But eventually, not only the 12 were one, the 120 they were one. And that oneness brought in the Lord's move on the day of Pentecost. So 3,000 got saved. So today is very, very crucial that we enter into such a message that with the realization, we like to be one. We like to be one for the Lord's move. Of course, the Lord prayed for the oneness of the disciples. If you read John 17, the Lord prayed for their oneness, so that believers to be built up into one. And their oneness is first in the Father's name by the eternal life. Because the Lord prayed, kept them in your name. In John 11, maybe we can read it. And I am no longer in the world, yet they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given to me, that they may be one, even as we are. You know, here it mentioned that the triune God, they are one. And the title of the message is concerning the oneness in the triune God. The triune God, they are one, and the oneness in the triune God, are they the same? The triune God are one. Let me just say a little bit about this. When I believe in the Lord, I was a Christian, I know there's only one God. But the Bible said very clearly, there's a Father and the Son and the Spirit. So I got a little confused. I wasn't so sure. And especially if somebody non-Christian asked me, I will feel easy for me to get stumbled and try to say something. But according to the word, I just want to make it short that the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are coexisting. That means they exist at the same time. They are also co-inhering. That means they are in one another. So this is a very basic truth for us Christians to realize this. You know, like the Lord Jesus prayed, you know, looking to heaven and pray to the Father. Are there two or one? The Lord on the earth prayed to the Father in heaven, two. But the Father and the Son, they are one. Even in John, he mentioned that. But anyway, even they are equal, but the according to John, the Father sent the Son. So, are they equal? The Father sent the Son. Are they equal or not equal? Sometimes I send my kids, you know, to do something. They get something for me. If they want me to go to school to get some, if they are sick, to get the homework, can they say, I sent you? They cannot say that, right? So the Son, being equal with God, was sent by the Father. The Son, equal with the Father, obeyed the Father. This is what's in the Word. The Father sent the Son. There's no resistance. They are one. So among the three, in their self, in themselves, in existence, they are one. No, they being equal. But to carry out God's purpose, there is the matter of sending. God, the Father, sent the Son. Even the Son sent the Spirit. But the three are one. This is the oneness of the divine Trinity. But the body of Christ, you know, this, the oneness in the triune God. When I read this title, I had a little problem, you know. Oneness in the triune God. What oneness? It refers to oneness of the body of Christ. So the oneness of the body of Christ is, you know, the body of Christ is the church. When you say the church, it's very practical. We are in the church meeting, we are in the church life. But the church is the body of Christ. The body of Christ is one in the triune God. Or make another way to say it. You and me, we are the church. We are members of the body of Christ. Are we one? We all sitting here, are we one?
Amen.
Can we say we are one?
Yes.
The Lord pray for us.
Yes.
The Lord pray for our oneness.
Amen.
So the oneness, our oneness, according to this title, is not in yourself. It's not in myself. In ourselves, we can never be one. But our oneness is in the triune God.
Amen.
That's why, you know, the one is when the Lord prayed, he mentioned, keep them in your name. And the oneness is in the Father's name by the Father's life. Today, in the Father's life, we are one.
Amen.
We pray in oneness to the Father during the Lord's table meeting, right? The oneness is also in the triune God by the sanctification of His divine word. His divine word sanctifies us. Before, we are one with nobody. But after we hear the word, we heard the gospel, we receive the law, we are one. We are one. But again, it's not one in ourselves, but we are one in the triune God through His sanctifying word. The more we enjoy His word, the more we are one. In the last, and lastly, the oneness is in the divine glory. That's the Lord pray, you know. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one. So the oneness is in the divine glory. All this, you know, is a very clear statement, but I have a little problem in grasping the reality and the fact. But if we now see in the Old Testament, then it will become clear, because the oneness of the body of Christ, which is the oneness of the church, is the oneness, in fact, of God's dwelling place. God has only one dwelling place. And this dwelling place in the New Testament is the church, is the body of Christ. Because in Ephesians 2, it mentions, in whom you also, again, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit.
Amen.
So the oneness in whom we are built up, a spiritual dwelling place. In spirit. So the oneness is in the triune God. It's very clear. Okay, now in the Old Testament, the picture, the reason the title mentioned, the oneness in the triune God typified by the tabernacle. I have trouble with this typified by the tabernacle. Because tabernacle, you know, has the outer court, has a holy place, and has the holy of holies. The tabernacle, are you referring to the whole tabernacle? No, it's not. It's referring to the part, the holy place and the holy of holies. There's the outer court. There are two pieces of furniture. The burnt offering altar and there's the laver. Then, if you enter into the holy place, further, if you enter further, will be the Holy of Holies. In the holy place, there are three pieces of furniture. There's a showbread table, there's a lampstand, and there's a golden incense altar. Then you enter into the Holy of Holies. There's only one piece of furniture. I think everybody knows. That's what? The Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony typifies Christ, because Christ is the testimony of God. And the ark is made of acacia wood overlaid with gold inside and outside. So this typifies our Savior Christ. He has two natures. Gold signifies the divine nature, and the acacia wood signifies the human nature. So the ark definitely is a type of Christ. But how about in building up the holy place and holy of holies, those standing boards? We read the standing boards. How many pieces of standing boards? 48, right. There are 48 standing boards. It mentioned that there are, of course, the God's dwelling place, the holy place and the holy of holies. There are two parts, holy place and holy of holies. These two parts, of course, there is a side of entrance or the door, you know, to get in. There is a screen, you know, for you to enter from the outer court into the holy place. Then there is the veil for you to enter from the holy place into the holy of holies. And that veil, it mentioned that when the Lord crucified on the cross, was torn from top to bottom. So the way was open for people to enter from the even the holy place, enter into the holy of holies. So in this tabernacle, not considered the outer court, just the holy place and the holy of holies, we see, you know, this is the east side, this is the west side, this north side, there's a south side. So to enter into God's dwelling place, there is the screen, and there's also the veil. The veil eventually was torn, so that it was we can enter in. In this picture, the standing boards, there are 48 pieces. 48 pieces are divided into 20, 20, and 8. 48 boards, you can also, is you have 48 by 6 times 8 equals 48. So for the building up God's dwelling place, the north side has 20 boards, and the south side 20 boards, and the west side has 8 boards. But 8 boards is divided into 6, and then there are corner boards. That makes 8. Okay. If you imagine yourself, okay, now Hebrews, according to Hebrews, they mention that we all can come forward with the boldness to where? To the Holy of Holies. Now, Holy of Holies is where we can enter in. Before, only the high priest, once a year, the high priest can enter in. And in Hebrews, he also mentioned that with boldness, we can enter to the Holy of Holies, and we can come forward to where? To the throne of grace. That means to the only piece of furniture where God dwells and where God meets with his people. I was fellowshipping with the saints. I mentioned to them that if now, you know, since we all can go in, if we are here, close your eyes. You close your eyes. And because why are you so used to the things we see? If you close your eyes in the Holy of Holies, then you open your eyes. What you see? What do you see? You see gold. You see gold, right? So, when you see gold, these all the 48 boards, eventually, they all became one. You get the picture? They all became one. The detail concerning this is related to us now. So the oneness of all the boards is in the gold. And it's in the shining of the glow. It's in the shining of the gold. So our oneness, the Lord prayed, our oneness is in the triune God. And our oneness is in the glory of God. So our oneness is not in yourself. So don't depend on yourself. John 17, the Lord didn't pray that they all love one another, be humble and be kind, be gentle. The Lord didn't say that. The Lord only mentioned in me, in you, you know, in us, you know, only the triune God. So it's very clear that our oneness is not in ourselves, but in the triune God. Okay. The point now is we need to see, before I could not visualize the holy place and holy of holies. You know, here in the meeting hall, we have a view, right? This is not our home. Our home doesn't have so high a ceiling, right? So I brought a ruler just to show you the standing boards. The standing boards, they are acacia wood overlaid with gold. So how high are these boards? How many cubits? 10 cubits, okay? 10 cubits, the standing boards. The standing boards are you. The standing boards are me. So we all are standing boards for the construction of God's dwelling place. And how high is this? So 10 cubits, how many feet? 15 feet. So Roger, you help me. See how 15 is, how high is that, okay? That's only 10. This is 15. Okay, so this is 15. This is the acacia wood, the standing boards. You know, this goes up. And so 20 of these boards, that means all of us, you know, all of us are part of this 48, okay? 48, the way you get the 48, thank you. The way you get the 48 is 6 times 8. 6 signifies we man, because man was created on the sixth day. 8 signifies what? 8 signifies resurrection. So when created man in resurrection, we became the standing boards. We are ready for the overlaying of gold. Before we receive the law, we have no goal. And the goal cannot overlay you. Because the goal can only overlay acacia wood. Acacia wood is very firm wood. It typifies the humanity of the Lord Jesus. So today, our oneness is in the triune God, means our oneness is in the goal. Our oneness is in the shining, the glory of the triune God, means our oneness is in the shining of the gold. So our need today is to be overlaid with gold. So the more gold we have, the more God we have, the more we are one. So there is a desperate need for all of us every day to get more gold. Otherwise, if we come together, we have differences, we try to be one, that will not work. Only when the law is added into us, then we can be one. The 48 balls, I mentioned is 6 times 8, is something in resurrection. So in our natural humanity, is rotten, is corrupted. Is fallen. It cannot be overlaid with gold. So we have to open to the Lord. Let the Lord transform us from our fallen humanity to a humanity that is in resurrection. That is Jesus' humanity. That is Jesusly human. Then God can overlay us. The brother, when he shared this part, he also mentioned something very practical. How can we be transformed? We need to love the Lord. Amen. When we love the Lord, we give the Lord ground to transform us. Then we also need to contact Him. To love Him, to love the food, it doesn't mean that you have the food in you to supply you. No. To have the food is one thing, to love the Lord is one thing, but to contact the Lord, to receive the Lord, is another thing. So every day, when we get up, we need to say, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
This causes our heart to turn. Whenever the heart is turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And we need to come to contact the Lord through His Word. We need to listen to His Word, and we need to pray over the Word, pray to Him. And all this will transform us. So the goal can only add to or overlay the transformed humanity. So every day, our Christian life is to gain more God.
Amen.
Our Christian life is loving the Lord. Our Christian life is enjoying the Lord, reading His Word, singing to Him. Since after the Lord's table, did you feel you have a little more God?
Amen.
I do. Because the Lord's table touches my heart. So I turn to the Lord. And I pray, I contact Him. The Lord is able to add something into me. So praise the Lord for the church life. All this process, if we see, is in the context of the tabernacle. So today, we need to keep ourselves, remain in the church life. Then, loving the Lord, contacting the Lord, we are being transformed. The Lord is able to carry out the work of transformation.
Amen.
When we are transformed, simultaneously, the goal is overlaid over us. So this is very practical to see that our oneness in the triune God is not just some kind of theory, but rather is by our gaining the triune God, we are one. Okay, if we see the standing boards, the standing board, you can see it's very long. So if we put this up, it's very tall. These boards to overlay is not so easy. And if you overlay it, you have to overlay it thickly. You cannot just a thin layer. A thin layer, anything little bit, it will crack. The oneness is gone. So today, we all need the Lord to overlay us thickly, heavily, sufficiently.
Amen.
Of course, we need to be daily, right? Then the boards will be able for the joining, for the building. To have these 48 boards together to become one piece, to become a dwelling. There are three things. There is the goal needs to be, the boards, the individual boards. We mentioned this is 15 feet. Is it this? Maybe not. 15 feet. 15 feet. Then 1.5 or 10 cubits. Okay, 10 cubits. 10 cubits. This is 1.5 cubits. 1.5 cubits is 27 inches. This is 27 inches. This very high and very tall boards, they have rings in order for them, for 20 of them lined up to be connected. They are rings on this boards. Okay, everyone has three rings. The middle one, there are five bars, uniting bars, in order to unite all these boards together. The middle bar goes through all the way, 20 of them, the middle bar goes through the whole thing. But the top and the bottom, there are two. So in other words, they are, if this is the middle one, the five bars, the middle one goes all the way from the center, from one end to the other end. The other two, one goes half and one goes half. And the bottom one is one goes half and one goes half. So there are five uniting bars. Five on this side, five on this side, and five on this side. So we see the rings are crucial because without the rings, the boards Even the boards, they overlaid, they still cannot be hold connected together. So the rings signify the initial spirit, the resurrecting spirit, or the sealing spirit. It's the indwelling spirit. When we receive the law, we receive the rings. The rings, there are three. It means it refers to the triune God. And there are three lines. It also signify the triune God in resurrection. He becomes the oneness of the spirit. So today we are one. We are one because of the oneness of the spirit, not because of ourselves. So Paul, the Lord said it, prayed in John 17. And the picture in the Old Testament is in Exodus 26. And Paul, when he comes, and he received this revelation. So he says something in Ephesians. Maybe we can read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 together. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Then he mentioned, there's one body, one spirit, and one hope of our calling, one law, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and through all. So he mentioned seven, right? Seven, one. Oneness. So we are one. So Paul went on further from what the Lord has prayed concerning the oneness. So our oneness today, we can say, is in the ring, in the oneness of the Spirit. And our oneness is also in the triune God, in God Himself, in the goal. And our oneness, again, is in the uniting bars, because this bar joins all the 20 boards on the north side and on the south side. And these five bars, they are the uniting bars, referring to the uniting spirit. Uniting spirit is the initial spirit, or it's the ring. So when we Christians, we have ring, we need to daily gain goal, because our oneness, the goal needs to spread. The Lord needs to spread within us, so we can have more goal, then we have more oneness. But there's also the need of uniting bars to go through all of us. And this is also very practical. This oneness means that in order for the Lord to join me with another brother, of course we cannot physically relate to everyone, but at least the one we have more contact, we need to be one. But how can we be one? Because this oneness of the Spirit, the uniting Spirit, has passed through us. You know, the bars are horizontal. The standing boards are vertical. So today, the oneness of the Spirit is also the crossing Spirit. It needs to go through us. So when the crossing Spirit wants to go through you to reach another person, we need to cooperate with the Spirit. If you refuse, then the uniting stopped. So today, when we are serving, the Lord in the church life, there are many opportunities for us to serve together. We need to be open. We need to open to the crossing Spirit. Amen. Often, you need to keep your mouth shut. I need to keep my mouth shut. Then our opinion will not come out. Then there will be the crossing Spirit going through us. And when the crossing Spirit coming through us influence the other brother, and then if you are letting the crossing Spirit going through you, then you will bring you to the next person. So today in the church life, we have the initial Spirit. Amen. And we also have the uniting Spirit. Amen. And the Lord is carrying out this building through His working in us. So today, there is the need of the law, because the oneness is in triune God. But on the other side, the uniting bar is not like the ring. The ring is 100% gold. But the uniting bar is acacia wood overlaid with gold. Amen. So that means it needs us to cooperate with the crossing Spirit. In fact, the uniting Spirit is not just the quashing spirit, the divine spirit, but also involve our human spirit. So when we are one with the Lord and open into Him, the Lord is able to get through us and connect in us and build up His dwelling place. There are many riches in this portion of the world. So I'll just stop here, share my portion, and you can share your portion. You know, the oneness, the God's dwelling place, is not just for God to dwell, but it's also for us to dwell. That's why the Lord said, the Father's house that many abodes, but the Lord will bring us also into that abode. That's chapter 14. In chapter 15, he mentioned, abide in me and you in me. So God's dwelling place is our dwelling place. The church is God's dwelling place. The church is also our dwelling place. And when we open to the Lord, let me tell you, when we open to the Lord, in 1 Corinthians, maybe we just finished reading the 1 Corinthians part. That's what I want to share. Maybe let's read 14:3. But he who prophesies speaks building up and encouragement and consolation to man. He who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. But he who prophesies builds up the church. But if all prophesy, and some unbelievers or unlearned person enters, he is convicted by all, he is examined by all. The secret of his heart becomes manifest, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declaring that indeed God is among us. God is among you. So, you know, when the meeting later, we have a lot of things prophesying. Prophesying, it seems like every brother or every sister, right, prophesy. And when the unbeliever, when they, after watching all this speaking, when they go out, we will think, they will say, oh, somebody say something. But according to the scripture, it says they were falling on their face, they will worship God and declaring that indeed God is among you. Amen. That means what? When we prophesy, whatever God has wrought into you will come out. Amen. And what people see will not see just you. They will see God. Amen. God is in our midst. Amen. This is the glory of God filling His dwelling place. Amen. So praise the Lord. Today, there is the way for us to build up the church, and there is the way for the Lord to express Himself even in our regular church meetings. So praise the Lord for such a picture. The oneness of in the triune God typified by the tabernacle, especially by the 48 boards. Okay, I'll stop here. Let me give you the microphone.